we're in 1 John chapter 4 again. And you might have noticed, if you're a good student of Scripture, I stopped short. There was a point I did not bring out, and I did not finish the paragraph. And that was because I was going to finish it today. And so let's go through this again. I don't have anybody here to assist me the way we have up front. And I hadn't planned well enough to have to do this. I got my dear sweet wife here. He's dressed up so pretty in Valentine's Day things, and Nan. And they could have read this, but we didn't plan a way to do it. Unfortunately, it would look smooth. It was just amongst our family, you know, but somebody else might be looking here, and we've got to look, make this somewhat smooth. So I'm just going to read this. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest to us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God if we love one another. God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. May God add his blessing to reading and hearing of this portion of his word. Well, let me just review, if you would, that for a second, what we covered last week. We learned from verse 7 that love is from God. Now, if you've got the notes and downloaded them, you've got all this in your notes. Love is from God. God is love. That's in verse 8. By the way, God is love, but we're not going to worship love as God. God is a personal God, but God has infinite love. And then we also learned from verses 9 and 10 that God loves us. Love is from God. God is love. God loves us. So, of course, we should love God with all our heart. And that's that central thing that Jesus said, that we need to love the Lord with God with all our heart, our soul, with all our strength. And we're going to go on. You know how to finish that. That'll be next week. But right here, we want to finish up in 1 John chapter 4. All of us want to be found loving God. So take this test to see if you do. Because it's really, really easy to say, I love God. But in reality, it's a lot more challenging in life to do so. And so the first point that I have here of this two-point message is that we should love one another. It's commanded. It's in verse 11, so we know that. And all of us do want to be found loving God, so look at this test and see if you do. And so we have 1 John 4, verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. If you could see the screen, you would see that it's highlighted two words, if God. If God. If there's a God. A lot of people don't believe there's a God, but if there is a God. And if God loved us, then we need to love him. And in fact, we're commanded to. It says, if God, and then the command there is to love one another. And so you want to first start with the word love. Remember last week, I showed you from Scripture how you can know that love is not a feeling. Love is an action. It's commanded. And remember, the simplest way to prove this doesn't take a half an hour or an hour if you're a Bible believer, because Jesus gave the command, love your enemies. Nobody feels like loving your enemies. Nobody has the ability to turn feelings on and off. I hate my enemy, but now I love them because I was commanded to. It does not work that way. Therefore, since Jesus is rather wise, infinitely wise, he's not commanding us to have a feeling. Love is not a feeling. Love is an action. But thankfully, when we do the actions that God calls us to do, normally feelings follow. And that's very, very special. And one of the great, great blessings of life in Christ. And so if God, then we're supposed to love. But it says we're supposed to love one another. Now, if you were reading in your Greek text today, you would see the word eleion. I'm just mentioning the Greek text, because this was written originally in the Greek, to let you know this is one of those cases where if you understand beyond the English, you can see something technical, but actually you don't have to, because I'm just going to tell you, one another is a phrase that's repeated throughout the New Testament. And you can look at those phrases, and in the English, much of the time, once you understand what it means, you can guess where it says eleion in the Greek. I once upon a time preached a message series, it was about 3 weeks long, on eleion, just the word eleion, because there's 51 or 52 times in the New Testament where eleion is used, and of those times, there's quite a number of different, it's not 51 or 52 unique things, but there's a number of unique commands. I can't remember if there's 17 or whatever, but there's a number of things that we're commanded to do for one another. Well, who's the one another's? Well, if you look in the context, if you look in the scriptures, if you look at the others, you're just looking in chapter 4 and compare it with the beginning of chapter 5 in 1 John, you can see that one another, it's a technical phrase that means believers. You're supposed to love other believers in the Lord Jesus. Now, don't despair. You thought that the Bible says we're supposed to love other people. Yes, we're supposed to. That'll be next week's message. But we started with that God is love, and so we should love him. This week, God is love, and so we're commanded to love each other. And then next week, we'll go on from that, and then another one beyond that. And this is the test, to love each other, to love one another, to love brothers and sisters in Christ, to love other followers of Jesus. Particularly, this is, I feel, is one of the big reasons why churches are part of God's plan. So that we can have an arena within which we are challenged to love one another. Because loving other people is really simple if you can pick which ones. Well, that one's nice, and this one's cute, and that one does things right here, and lovable and precious and never causes a trouble. I can love all of them. But what about the people that rub you the wrong way? They're different. Maybe like me. If we can't select who we're supposed to love, then we actually need God's help to be able to obey this command. So you might ask me this question. What does that look like if we're supposed to love one another? If love is just not like a feeling, what does God expect for us to do when we love one another? Let me show you. And I want to remind you first, remember the word shalom? Remember we talked about that? Be shalom. Shalom is peace. And shalom, you know, that Hebrew word is more than just the absence of war. Not just the absence of bad stuff, but it's the presence. It's the presence of a living at peace with others, doing actions of peace. And the same way it is with love. And not just love and absence of anger. Well, I'm not angry with anybody. I just hide in my house, and I don't relate to anybody. So I really am a great lover. No, you're not a great lover at all. You're a great hider. You're a great isolator. You're a great hermit. Because a lover has to do actions that love other people. Now, you can do it remotely. You can do it virtually. You can do it from a distance with technology. And you can do it even without seeing them. But you have to do things. So what are some of the things you should do? Well, here's what I did. I looked up one another. And I saw how many of these could I put on a slide that you could read from the back of the church. Gosh, if I'd known we didn't have to put on a slide, I could have all of them in the New Testament. But I think this is enough. So, one another. What are we supposed to do with one another? We're supposed to forgive one another. And that would stop some people just right there. There's some people I'm just not going to forgive. No, you can't pick the ones you're going to forgive. And there's no timetable. You know, well, I'll forgive them. I'll stop being angry after about 3 days or 5 days. There's no timetable in that. It's now. Forgive them now. Forgive one. If there's somebody that you're not willing to forgive, particularly if they're a believer in Jesus, you are out of God's will. I'm just telling you that. This is what the scripture says. I didn't invent this list of things. I went to the scriptures and I picked out the ones that I could most easily squeeze in on this slide. Forgive one another. Honor one another. Because somebody has been with you, do they feel honored ever? I don't know how much that happens with me either. But it's a good thing to be thinking about. We want to, you know, make people just feel special. Thank you so much for what you're doing. And I thank you for the things that you all did. You know, the men that got up at 6:30 this morning are already up and testing the ice. Thank you for doing that. And the people that gave me tips for technology. And thank you, Terry, for letting me test this a couple of times and telling me I actually was on live right now. And I thank you for all that you did to get the messages out. I really appreciate that. We need to spend more time honoring people. I appreciate my mother-in-law and my wife that rather than competing for the band, I would be preaching in one room and they would be listening in another. They're just sitting here on chairs. And I appreciate that humble way that they serve you. And speaking of which, we're not just going to forgive one another, honor one another. We should serve one another. Find ways to serve one another. I got wind of a plan that there's a group of people that have worked for days and days and days, ways to serve one another today, and it didn't work out because we weren't together. God bless you. Always working on ways to serve other people. There's some people I know that are saying, yeah, wait a second, nobody served me. God nowhere commands us, make sure you get served. He commands us to serve one another, to serve other believers in Jesus Christ, sisters and brothers in Christ. Be patient with one another. Do not envy one another. That's a hard one sometimes. You've got an old car and they got a brand new car. Do not envy. I remember one time there was a person that talked to the stewardship committee and not giving me a pay increase. And afterwards she came to me and she said, I know you'd understand that I haven't gotten one, and so you probably shouldn't get one either. And came back later, a few weeks later, and said, you know what? I knew you would rejoice with me. I got a pay raise. And in my heart, I'm thinking, but I didn't. Do not envy one another. And bear one another's burdens. And boy, our church, I love our church family. There's so many people in this church that go out and bear other people's burdens for them. They're ready to do that, no matter what. Live in harmony with one another. God bless you. So many of you just do that. You're on overdrive in harmony. I love being with you. Comfort one another. When something sad happens, I appreciate that. Yesterday, one of our midst found somebody that died. Nobody knew it. And that was disconcerting. And I hope that brother got comforted. I know several people took time to make sure that I felt comforted. I appreciate that. We should comfort one another. Rejoice for those who rejoice and weep for those who weep. Do not cause one another to stumble. Don't go and do stuff that's going to cause other people to do stuff that you know God doesn't want them to do or they think God doesn't want them to do. You know, alcohol is one of those issues. And our church is just an amazing church because we know what the Bible says on that. It says not to be under the influence. And I think it's still the vast majority of our church doesn't take a sip. Ever. And I'm in that group. My family's in that group. But I know that there's others that they feel that God permits them to take a sip. And they can do it without being under the influence. And more power to you. If you're following God's leading, that's what you're doing. What I stand in appreciation of is how many of them resist the opportunity to get a picture. You know how everybody else does this. You know, you got a picture at stressful times. I need my glass of wine. In the summer, you got to have a little picture with you and your beer. And people like show off that, I'm a drinker too. I'm like the rest of you. Aren't I cool? Aren't I in? I know the name of an expensive wine or an exotic beer. And don't cause one another to stumble. And our church, you do that very, very well. Because there's people that do that and nobody knows it. Because you only share it with the ones that want to know that. And the ones that don't do it, you never cause them to stumble by saying, you know, I feel I can do that without being under the influence. Praise God. Would you continue that ministry? Do not cause one another to stumble in whatever the actions and decisions and things of your conscience are. Hold one another more important than yourself. Boy, that is hard. As hard as the next hour that shows up. Because our natural default is, I'm kind of important. You know, I got to take care of me so I get my sleep and eat and whatever I need. And yet, God commands us to hold others, one another more important than ourselves. That is a challenge to do. So you can't just say, I'm not doing any of those things wrong. You've got to do them positively, reaching out and showing love to other people. Well, do you know, I couldn't fit everything on one slide, and I thought, I'm going to just do one more slide, and I did. I've got some more. It just goes on and on. Do a study sometime. It's a beautiful study. Just study one another. Or look in a Greek-English thing, and you can figure out in an interlinear which one is the word, leilun, and look at how that's spelled, and plug it in somewhere and find where those things are in English and figure it out. But you can just do it with one another. You can recognize them. It'll be like show hospitality to one another. You know, inviting people over. Now, right now in COVID, it's a little hard. You can send people gift certificates. You can drop off food to people's houses. You can drop off chocolates and soups and lots of things. And God bless you. I hear of hospitality that some of you show. And right away, somebody here's probably thinking, nobody showed hospitality to me. And I want you to think, don't think that. Think, did you show hospitality to anybody else? Good. But I didn't get any return. Did they say show hospitality, so they show hospitality to you? No. It's always better to be on the end of, I'm showing much more to others than they're showing to me. I guarantee you that's true. And you're commanded to do it. In fact, no one should be a leader in a Christian church if they don't show hospitality. And you might say, well, I show hospitality all the time to my best friend and my two kids. No. Showing hospitality to the people that you don't know as much. Inviting the person over that just came to church the first time today. Can't do it today. You know, inviting people in that you don't know well at all so you can get to know them. Be humble with one another. It's not all about me. It's about them. Be tender-hearted to one another. That's hard for men to do. Be tender-hearted. Some of you are really, really great at it. Here's one that Danielle would love, and the whole worship team and the praise team. Sing to one another. Every person's ever told me, well, I don't sing. It's my thing. It's not my thing. Do you know what God says one of your things is? Sing to one another. Now, if you think you're really particularly bad at it, maybe don't sing too loud, but sing to one another. At least in the context of worship, can't you sing to one another? You're commanded to. Do not lie to one another. We're not supposed to lie at all, but do not lie to brothers and sisters in Christ. We're all representing God. Stir, you know, this is in the Hebrews. Stir one another up to love. Stir up one another to love and good deeds. Figure out ways to help other people show love. Do you do that? We were just talking about that in Sunday school. How do you get out of the perspective, it's easier just for me to do it myself, and get other people to do it with you so they can learn how to do it, including showing love? Boy, some of the parents in this church have been so super at doing that. And their children are loving children because they spent years learning how to do love with their parents. Encourage one another. There's not enough of that going on in this world. Nobody can get too much encouragement. Do not grumble to one another. Boy, some churches are famous grumblers. Thank the Lord it's not ours. Do not grumble to one another. And if you are a grumbler, I am telling you, you can't even unionize in our church because there's not enough of you. Do not grumble. Do not speak evil of one another. Now, you know, I heard about that. You're not supposed to be doing that kind of stuff. Don't be saying bad stuff about people. And I ended with this one. Submit to one another. And I had to add more in the thing, out of reverence to Christ. It's in the verse. Submit to one another out of reverence to Christ. Because, boy, in the United States of America, nobody submits to anybody. Children don't submit to parents. Spouses don't submit to each other's. Church members don't submit to elders. Drivers don't submit to police officers. Citizens of the United States don't submit to their government officials. Oh, my lands. You know, there's people right now that are saying, you know, Biden's not my president. Trump is still my president. And that's as silly, whether you like them or not. It's as silly as 4 years ago. For 4 years, people were saying, you know, that Trump's not my president. Barack's still my president. That is ridiculous. Submit to one another. But this is not saying here, submit to the president. Right here it's saying submit to other believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Christ, find ways to submit what you had really wanted to do. to others. Now, that doesn't mean if somebody goes and says, would you do something? Do it right now. And obey people who are telling you to sin. But we are commanded to submit to one another. Pray about that. What does God want you to do with that submitting to one another? Now, I took us out of 1 John for two verses. I was going to have all of us read this together. I can't find a way to do it. And so I'm just going to have to read it to you. John chapter 13. You know, John wrote 1 John. He wrote the Gospel of John. And no way to understand one of them better than the other, because John wrote all its Johannine literature. We look at one to learn more about the other. And you can tell it's John because he sounds just like John. Love, love, love. He was the young one. He was the kid, the youngster of the disciples. A new commandment. It says in John 13:34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, that you also are to love one another. And here we see that this is a commandment. Well, I already told you that, but here it is again. It's a commandment that we love one another. John was really big on this. He knew that commandment. He was just to love one another. And doesn't he live it out well? And at the end of his life, he's like, little children, love one another. I love him. You know, little children, like an old grandfather, a great-grandfather, a commandment, because he's the only one that didn't get, you know, killed. Didn't get killed for the cause of Christ. Martyred. It's a commandment to love one another. But then, it was on the screen, you see highlighted, just as I have loved you. Who's the one I that's speaking? It's Jesus. Just as Jesus loved you. How does Jesus love you? And a lot of people think, well, he feels nice thoughts to us. That's not what the scriptures show us. Remember, love is actions. Can you see any place in in the book of John where there's some loving one another? And yes, in this very chapter, just a few verses before this, Jesus takes off his robe and takes off something and puts a towel around him and gets a basin and does what the servant would do. What the servant would do. He gets down there with those dirty, dusty feet that have been walking dirty, dusty roads and starts washing your feet. Ever had your feet washed? It's a humbling experience. Ever washed anybody else's feet? I'm not talking about your baby girl or baby boy. Some other person whose feet aren't family to you. That's humbling. And Jesus did that for 12 other men. The same way that he served them in a humble servant way, we're supposed to serve others. There is not a one of us today that can say, you know, God, I do that 100% the way you want me to do. We all are challenged, aren't we? To be a little bit more of a servant. Not with the sweet and the pretty and the beautiful and the nice and the wealthy and the relative, but with the uncomfortable and the disagreeable and the different. I've got several of these in mind. I got one of them particularly in mind from yesterday. You know, the people that are sometimes a little bit harder to love and care for, I think they're sometimes the ones you learn the bigger lessons of service. And probably the bigger blessings. It could well be when I go to heaven. I'm going there and thinking, I was a pastor for all these years. You know, they must give me faster Wi-Fi in heaven because of that. And I don't have anything for that. But I got something really special because I served somebody. Or I bought somebody groceries for week after week, month after month, year after year. I bet that might be. Because I told you about it. Now don't get reward for it. You know, God will reward us for that stuff that we did in secret and nobody knew about. Just, we're commanded the way that he loved, we're supposed to love. In a love that's looking out for the interest of others, considering them more important than ourselves with our whole heart. And of course, if you look after this verse, the sacrifice of Jesus, he's going to soon die on the cross. So we're between thinking of the example of serving as a servant, on our hands and knees, cleaning dirty feet, and being tortured and hanging on a cross till we bleed to death. And he says, that's the way I serve you, you serve others. Goodness. Thank you, God, that we don't have to serve others to the extent that you demonstrated here in the Gospel of John for us to serve. John 13:34 is followed by 35. And I have to just tell you that that's not for nothing that we do those things. It's not for nothing. And I'm going to read it to you. If 35, by this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And it would be highlighted in yellow on the screen, or bright gold if I had a screen. Well, I'm sorry, nobody's figured out how to do that yet here, and if they figure it out, then it'll be really great. How to put this up at the same time you're doing the Facebook Live. All people will know. All people will know. When folks think about churches, hey, pray for churches right now. I just got a text this morning from somebody that has a perspective of hundreds of churches. And he says, there's a lot of them out there. This guy was saying, pray for me. He's a pastor. He's probably got to go and preach today. And he's saying, pray for me. I feel like quitting. So there's people in the church that said, I'm going to go someplace else. Now, you've never heard this. Well, maybe one or two of you have. Yeah, one or two of you have. I know I have. And people can be so syrupy sweet. You know, Pastor, I love you. I love this church. I've got so many fond memories. And then they lay it on you in the always super spiritual terms. But I'm just not being fed. And then they say, I'm going to go down the road. Because, you know, down the road, they always feed better than they do right here. Down the road, they always feed better than they do right here. And they truly, truly believe that. I just learned to kind of say, yeah, God bless you. At least I tried to. In my heart, I weep, I think, because I follow them. And I follow some of those people and realize they weren't stepping in anything that was different at all. I know how that preacher preaches. I know what that church does. They've got strengths. They've got weaknesses. They haven't gone to better at all. They're just going to different. They're just going to different. Pastors, pray for them. Pray for churches. Pray for us to find the pastor that God wants us to have right now, because, you know, we need him. But I'm thinking about those things. You know, people, and this guy was saying, you know, his church is kind of going downhill. And, of course, when a church goes downhill, then people always find, you know, I think God wants me to minister in another place now. I've taught and done all this for this church for so long, go someplace else. And I never think, who's going to take my place? Now, if people appreciate it, I thought who's going to take my place and try to prepare it. But, you know, the list of people that leave our church or leave any church that make sure before they go that somebody's covering for them is a very tiny list, very, very tiny list. They just close their eyes to everything that falls apart. They just walk away. They walk away like a man or a woman abandoning their family. They don't care one bit because they've got new things. They're going to go to that new place, that new family, that new woman, that new man, that new church. They're going to be welcomed with open arms. You've come to help us. And the ones they left behind that they used to call family. So if we think about something like that, you're missing somebody that's not there, or we're not together. What do you do? You know, it's really the pastor's fault. It's the interim pastor's fault. It's the elders. Now the elders all go. It's the chairman of the elders. It's his fault. You know whose fault it is? The church's not growing. It's our fault. All of us together. Because all of us together have this opportunity to show Christ is real. And you know how we show Christ is real? It says right here, all people will know. Man, I can remember glory times where people just be coming out of the woodwork to get in the church. They say, because of the love. They see. I remember one time this guy that swore he would never go to church and walked in the church, and right away he picked out two men. I remember the men right now too. And he said, I don't know churches, and I don't know, you know, religion, but if those two men are here, this is the place I want to be. Because he knew those two men. They were men that loved and they served. When people see a church that loves one another, and God bless you for being that kind of church, and serve one another, and they honor one another, and they do forgive one another. You know, we all have problems and irritations and squabbles, and, you know, those things happen because you're in the church. Because I'm in the church. But the love covers a multitude of sins. And when that happens, because you're walking with Jesus and I'm walking with Jesus, all people will know that we're learners, followers. You know, that's what a disciple is, a learner of Jesus. If you have love for the brothers and sisters of Christ. Now, again, we're going to talk about loving all people next time. But we're talking about this right now. When people see a church with a lot of love, it attracts folks. And I've seen churches where there's no love at all. and they don't attract anybody. And all it takes is one Sunday for somebody to walk in there right away. They know this place, people didn't like each other at all. And sometimes I tell people, you know, our church, we all love each other. And I say we even like each other. Because a lot of people just think, oh, love, everybody loves. But no, they actually like each other. They enjoy each other. That's what it says in 1335. And people are going to know it if that's the way you live. Well, there's only 2 points this message. The second one was verse 12. What do we know if we love one another? Because if we love one another, there's two things it says we're going to know. And the first one is that God lives in us. That's in verse 12. I'll just give you a hint. The other one's in verse 12 too. And let me read that verse to you. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. It says that God abides in us. So that's why it's important for people to see us loving one another, because they can't see God. But God's abiding or dwelling or living in us, living through us. That's how we advertise God. Yes, we want to have the best messages we can. Yes, we want to have that praise team really practice hard. Yes, we want the technical people to make sure there's no, seams in the service and things go along smoothly. You know, yes, we want to make sure that the bathrooms are clean. We want to have the best advertising. We want to have the cleanest, safest parking lot. We want to make sure that we minister to people in all kinds of different ways. We've got programs for little children and older children, youth, and all of those things. But more than anything else, if we lost all of those and don't even have the building, if we love one another, it shows that we love God. And if we love God, that shows that God is alive. He's living in us. And that's what attracts people. That's what draws people in. Do you know the people that I have met in the past number of months since we've come back into the worship, every one of them has been attracted by a person in the church that's been loving them. And they immediately sense people love each other. That's our best advertisement, you and me, as we love one another. And it reminds us in the beginning of the verse, no one has ever seen God. So you and I were the evidence. When people see God in us, now you're not God, I'm not God, but they see the evidence that God's causing us to live this way, they have less qualms with saying, is there a God? I was at a funeral service yesterday, and virtually, and the girl was standing up, one of my co-workers, giving a testimony. And she said, it was easy for me to believe that God loved me unconditionally as my heavenly father, because my earthly father loved me unconditionally. That's so true. But it's also true to a slightly lesser extent. It's easier for others to know that God exists and loves them unconditionally, because they've seen us loving each other and them also in that unconditional way. Love actions, not feelings. Love with actions. Love with actions. And so, if you and I are loving each other, one of the things that we know is that God is living through us. The second thing we know is we're loving one another is that God's love is made complete in us. And so, if you just read verse 12, at the end of it, it says his love is perfected or completed or made perfect. And so there's this process of it happening. Or does it look like, well, I just refer you to what we said before. Those one other things, loving and being patient and serving and submitting to each other and all of those things. That's what it looks like. And see, we're not there yet. But God is perfecting this thing. We're never going to be perfect. But he's perfecting. He's working those things out. That's how we grow spiritually. So that's, a lot of people say, I don't really need to ever go to church. My lands, other than the fact I don't want you to die if you're old and you've got, health problem. Yes, you do need to go to church, because God is perfecting his love out in you, and he does not do that the same way if you're sitting in your living room, with your slippers on by yourself, as when we come together and see each other and love each other and enjoy each other and help each other and encourage each other. The older are helping the younger, and the younger are helping the older, and the big families are helping the lonely, and the lonely are being loved by the people called the love. It's being perfected in us. And John continues this just a few verses later in 1 John 5, verse 2. This love is being made complete in us. I just wanted to point out the two things that are in that. It says 1 John 5, remember, right in the Gospel of John, 1 John 5, verse 2, by this we know the children of God. And I just want to remind you there See, we're loving one another. That's why in some churches, and sometimes you and I say that too, brother, sister, brother this and sister that, because we're in the family. No, we're not all children of God. The Bible teaches very clearly no one is a child of God except those that are saved. It's only Christians. That's what God says. Others can claim whatever they want, but they can't make themselves forced into God's family. We're children of God because we're saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and rose again. And when you and I trust in that, that gospel, that we are changed, and that separation that we have, we all start out separated from God, that we don't have that love relationship. And then when we trust in Jesus, we can be brought together with him so that we can sense his love, we can feel his love, and it can pour through us to love out others. And as we love one another, then that love is perfected in us. And when we love God, we're going to love one another. And when we love God and one another, we're obeying his commandments. Isn't that amazing? The second week in a row, it comes back to that again, the commandments. It's easy to claim, I love God. But do you love your brothers and sisters in Christ? Are you saved? If you're not saved, then you don't have a brother and sister in Christ. Talk to one of us. You know, email somebody, pastor@perryville.org. Put it in a comment. Email pastor@perryville.org. And we'll get together with you. This is important. But most of us here, we already know we're believers. We're going to love one another. It's God's command to do that. We know we love believers when we obey God's commands. Isn't that something? It's saying we can't be loving other people unless we're spiritually right with God. Only the people that are right with God, obeying God's commands, living every moment with God, find the grace from God to come in and love people around that have all the warts and difficulties and annoying, irritating things about them. Because we're all different. We need to be right with God so we can actually do this. So a loving church is actually demonstration of a spiritually mature or growing church. Because only a church that's growing closer to Jesus is going to be a church that's obeying his commands. And only a church that's obeying his commands is going to be a church where the children of God actually like each other and love one another. So we know that God loves us and God is love. Love is from God. We should love God. We should love one another, especially the church family. Our church family is so critically important. And we should obey God's commands. Is that what is happening in your life? Is God's love being perfected in you? Let me pray that it happens that way. Gracious Father, I do pray that you would help us to love you as you desire. Thank you that you love us so much. Help us to grow in that love. I pray that it would propel us, your love would propel us forward, the obey commands, particularly the ones where we're most tempted, where we need to grow the most. Give us grace that we can do that, Lord, through our study of your word, by prayer, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And would you help us to love one another and honor one another and serve one another and make each other more important than ourselves in such a way that you are honored, that you are glorified, and more see God abiding in us and come to know Jesus. Would you grow your church through us serving and loving each other? We pray in the name of Jesus. God bless you.